pray with me? Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, in our lives, sometimes our hearts are hard. Sometimes the cares and the worries of this world distract us, and we don't feed you in our hearts and our lives. Sometimes, God, we don't make the effort to put down our roots, to dig deeply into the earth. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, lead us to repentance. Lead us to deeper faith. Oh, Lord, plow the hard places of our heart, that through repentance and faith we may receive your word and that our lives may be fruitful. Amen. Today, we're continuing a summer sermon series on the scene with 2020 vision, specifically trying to see this world through the eyes of Jesus. I don't know about you, how many of you have had, we talked about garden, and I love the fruit of the garden, that's probably the best part of the garden, but one of the things that I had back in Nebraska on vacation this past week was some fresh sweet corn. And I don't know how they did this, but there is a Daniel's farm outside of Columbus, Nebraska, and they have the best produce, all right? So here's a plug-in from back in my home in Nebraska, and I went to their stand on the first day that they were open in Grand Island, and they had their fresh sweet corn. And I didn't get just one dozen, but I got two dozen so that we could enjoy that sweet corn. And for me, that's one of the things that means it's summer, right? That you get to taste some of this produce, some of this fruit of gardens and farms. And I was amazed as I think about this ear of corn. Do you guys have any idea how many kernels of corn are on the standard ear of corn? Any guesses? All right. I found anywhere between 500 and 1,200. All right. So the average kernel of corn has about 800 kernels. All right. And I didn't just sit there and count them before I ate the corn that I prepared. All right. I went online. And so typical corn has 800. Talk about fruitful. One grain of corn, all right, produces an ear of corn or a stalk, and how many ears of corn are on that stalk? Three, sometimes more, all right, but at least, you know, three is that typical kind of growth, and so, you know, that's even more than 30, 60, or 100 times that Jesus is talking about. And I think about it in my life, what is God looking for us in our life? And I think he's desiring us to be fruitful, to take the word that God has planted in our hearts and in baptism, in faith, and let it produce fruit in the lives of those around us, in our marriages, in our families, in the relationships that we have with people in our schools and in our workplaces, to take the love of Jesus to them. And so as we talk about a worldview, can you read this slide with me? A worldview is the conceptual lens through which we see and understand and interpret the world and our place in it. And so our worldview shapes kind of how we understand, you know, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? What happens after I die? What is the answers that science really can't answer, right? Science can't answer some of these bigger questions of what is my purpose, what happens after I die, how does life begin? It takes a worldview to shape that thought. Some people say, well, it's evolution. Some say it's other theories. But for Christians, our Christian worldview is shaped by God's word. It's shaped by the truth that the Bible is God's inspired word, that everybody who wrote in the Bible were inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit, that God would reveal his word, his truth, the realities of this world to us. And I love in John chapter 1 that John, the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're talking not about a book. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. And so when we think about God's Word, all of Scripture points to and leads to and helps us understand who Jesus is and the difference he makes in our hearts and our lives. And so a Christian worldview, we see it through Jesus, who is God's Word incarnate in the flesh. And so today, I want to show you, all I had at home were like popcorn, but I found this picture of a corn seed. And so when you see that, maybe you think of food, maybe you think of a garden, maybe you think of some other things, but when God sees a seed, I think he sees potential. He sees potential, because when that seed is planted into the ground, what could happen? If it's planted and fertilized and watered and the weeds stay away, this seed can die but come to life and produce a fruitfulness that from one seed come many. I think also when I look at this seed, I think about God's Word. Because in this parable of the sower, that's what the seed is. It's this gospel, it's this good news that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so this gospel changes this world. It changes our hearts. This seed is scattered. And so today, read with me how our parable of Jesus starts. Let's read these first words. A farmer went out to sow some seed. It sounds like, come on kids, gather around, let me tell you a story. And Jesus starts with things that he was a very agricultural culture where Jesus, you know, was preaching and teaching. The people there understood a person reaching into a pouch around his waist and scattering seed. And I know the people at home can probably see this better than here, but you can see the sower, along his field there's a path. There's patches of his field that are a little bit rocky, and some that haven't been plowed or cultivated as much. But as he scatters seed, he wants to get the seed right up to the edge of his land. So some of it goes into some pots where the soil is hard, where there's rocks. Because he knows that each seed is potential. And because he is an extravagant sower, he wants to have as many of those seed find good soil. And so some seed fell along the path. All right, some of it fell along the path. And Jesus explains this, is that the seed represents a heart of somebody who hears the word of God but doesn't understand it. And that seed, that gospel, is snatched away before it can even take root. Are there people in this world today whose hearts and ears, our lives, are hardened? That when they hear the message of God, they just reject it. The seed has no place to take root. How descriptive is Jesus' parable, not only of his day, but also today. Some of the seed, however, fell among the rocky places. And this rocky places represents seed that found a little bit of soil and with great joy received the word of God. But what couldn't that seed produce that would allow it to produce fruit? It couldn't produce a root. It didn't have room. In our lives, sometimes we hear the word of God, we are challenged by the word of God, but we don't create the space and the room for God's word to grow in our hearts and our lives. Other seed fell among the thorns, and this seed begins to grow, but because of the weeds are all around it, the seed, you know, is choked. It doesn't get the sun, it doesn't get the nutrition that it needs. And so, instead of being fruitful, the seed dies. The plant, the faith that grew, doesn't produce fruit. And I love that's what Jesus, his ultimate, you know, explanation about this life, this heart, this person that receives God's word, it grows. It looks like it's going to produce fruit. But then the worries of this world, the temptations of wealth, sap its strength, sap its drive, take away its ability to produce fruit. How many of you have found yourself in that position? Like some of those seed. I think this parable is not about just being good soil, but acknowledging that our hearts are all of these at certain times, right? Sometimes our hearts are very hard. Sometimes our hearts are rocky, that God, even as a believer, God sends a word into our heart instead of receiving it through a person, through God's word, through a sermon. We reject it. Or maybe there's a little bit of growth on Sunday morning, right? You have the best of intentions to change, but then you go back home and you go back to work and it just all falls away. Or how much with the worries of this world, COVID-19, what is school going to be, financial concerns? Do you wonder, God, do you care? Are you there? But God desires, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to soften our hearts and our lives, to pick up the rocks, to weed around the seed of the gospel he plants in our hearts, that when the seed of God's word, the seed of Jesus Christ falls into our heart, that seed may take root and grow and produce fruit. That's God's desire for you and me, that we may be, what? Fruitful. That's a huge calling, isn't it? Sometimes that's, what does that mean? What does that look like? But God's desire is for each one of us as a Christian, not just to say, well, you know, I'm glad I'm saved, and then just leave it at that, you know? Not just be content with, well, I'm saved and my family is saved, but God calls us to take the seed that was planted in us and to scatter our own seed, to share our own gospel with others. You know, Jesus, I think the real phrase in this whole parable is his challenge for us, that he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear, okay? And I'm a guy, all right? So as a guy, I don't always hear very well, all right? As a guy, there are sometimes that my wife is talking to me and I'm playing on my phone or I'm reading something else and she'll have to say, Andy, put the phone down, all right? Because she knows that I can't do two things at once, all right? That's just a reality. And maybe you guys, you're really good at this, but for me, I know that it takes effort for me to hear. And so I think a challenge for us sometimes to hear the word of God is to put down the distractions of this world, put down, you know, the worries that distract us, put down and surrender to God the things that would ensnare us, that we may hear God's word. Because this is what Jesus did. He listened to the word. He listened to his Father. And he spent his entire ministry planting gospel seeds, telling stories to help the world see through his eyes that the kingdom of God is like a sower who sowed seeds. But not only did Jesus preach the word, Jesus lived the word. Jesus knew that the greatest gift, the greatest gospel, the best message this world could ever hear is that God's Son, Jesus, lived with a radical love. A love that was so radical that he loved the very people that were oppressing him. A love that was so radical that from the cross he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand that what they're doing. A love that was so radical that Jesus died just for believers? No, he died for all people. He died and paid for the sins of the entire world. A love that Jesus knew that there would be people who would reject him, who wouldn't be changed. But Jesus said, I love them anyway. Jesus lived out this radical love as the Word of God in action. And I want to challenge you and I to have this radical kind of love. To say, God, use me, plant me to make a difference in this world. Because sometimes in this world, do you agree? We wonder, is anyone really listening? Is anybody really hearing God's word and being changed by the gospel? And it's easy to look at the world and wonder. And we wonder, not only is anybody listening, but does anybody really understand the way of Jesus, this radical love and action? Because maybe we say we understand, but we don't always live it. And so I want to challenge you today. I think this is important for all of us, that the gospel seed leads us to repentance, a turning from sin and turning towards God, a surrendering of self, acknowledging that I'm a poor, sinful creature, a poor, sinful being, and letting God change our hearts, change our minds, that leads to a change in action. That if we remain in Christ and he remains in us, what will God do in us? You will bear much fruit. That's my prayer. That we may hear God's word, that we may understand it, that we may put it into action as we remain in Christ. That you and I, Christians, follower of Jesus, you and I, the body of Christ, the church on earth, may bring about great fruit in our lives, in our families, in this world. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you have given us, this radical love in Jesus. Thank you for planting Jesus into this world, that by his incarnation, Jesus, God in the flesh, who lived, who died, who rose again, so that whoever repents and believes in him, Lord, we're changed. We become a new creation. Help us, O Lord, by daily drowning that old sinful Adam through repentance and faith, to let our hearts remain soft and receptive to your word, that your word may change us into deeper love for you and deeper love for our neighbor. Help us, Lord, to share in the sowing of seed in our lives, inviting people to know Jesus, who is love in the flesh. We pray this in his holy and powerful name.